Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, and welcome to Sweet Discussions here on Blog Talk Radio. I am Sweet Pea, and I am with All Poetry, and this show is brought to you by the AP Poetry Foundation. Thank you for that. We are being sponsored by that foundation, a foundation that loves to support those who love poetry through their voice, be it writing, talking, doing all of those wonderful things. You can find us on All Poetry. Tonight we are going to be talking about the power of two. Dual, dual, dos, all the other things that come into, most of us are, as a little civilization, if I can talk, we all come with twos. Thinking of two, being a two, around two. Most of us don't like being pairs of one. Well, then we wouldn't be a pair. The song we heard was, I can't remember it. It's by Shout and Shout Even Shy, written by our own Jay Hatter. It's a fabulous, fabulous song. So it's a writer. Yeah. What? What? Did I say his name? You say his name and he appears just like, appears like Beetlejuice. But welcome aboard, everybody. I have a studio full of amazing people. Let's start with Mr. AP. Hello, AP. How are you this evening?
Hey, I'm
Will
Sweet. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Followed there, I have my other fabulous board member. We're going to have Jay Hatter. Hello, Hatter. How are you?
I'm okay.
I think
I might change my name to Willow the Wisp.
Willow the Wisp? That's not going to help me very much. And
okay,
no, you're not, because you can't change me. You're not allowed to change your name to Willow the Wisp.
You referred to me as Willow the Wisp yesterday.
And then I heard. I'm not going to be, no. And then, of course, we have one of my favorite poets up there, and I call him the Atom Bomb. How are you doing, sir? How are you tonight?
Oh, man. Trying not to blush. Thank you. Happy to be here. I'm all right, grooving.
Cool. Don't worry if you do, nobody can see on radio. I'm here with my puppy, my little Australian Shepherd, and the black and white Border Collie. That's what I'm doing, just hanging out with the dogs. So, talk about two. You can never have just one dog. At least that's what I've been told. That's how I live my life. So this show was supposed to be on last week, which was 2-2, but the whole, you know, things fell apart. But things are better this week. Things are good. So, you know, take a deep breath. So I apologize that, you know, my 2 show is now on 2-9. So we'll talk about Niners. I don't know about that because they aren't in the Super Bowl. So is everybody excited about the Super Bowl? Because I'm not.
No.
I don't know.
It should be a good one. It should. I'm supposed to be, I'm told,
Eagles
to get very excited about the Kansas City because they're in my division, but I don't care. I guess because they're in my division, which is the Broncos and Browns and all of that, I should be the voting for them. But
I remember the baseball went on strike in was it 86 or 92, one of them. And I didn't watch baseball for almost 10 years after that. Screw them.
Oh, well, okay.
They always leave.
Such a grudge.
They always leave out the most important faction of the equation. They assemble for pay all the millions that they get. They forget the fans. Go on, strike my ass. Settle that off in the off season. Okay,
yeah,
that's enough.
I agree. Okay, well, see, sports.
I agree. Yeah.
So we're talking about things that come in pairs or come in more than pairs and everything like that. Well, everything that you pretty much do, like I have never known individuality in my entire life. I was born into a family. I have, you know, I was the third child born into a family of 4. I have 3 brothers, 2 above, 1 below. So family of 6. I mean, even if you're an only child, you have parents. So very few people ever come into this world alone. Obviously, there are parents and, you know, we don't, as a species, we don't ever come out and go, oh, I just want to be alone. Isolation is not very good for us. So there's always this constant need to be, you know, a part of something, to go towards something, to be a pair of something. And obviously everything has an opposite, you know, reaction. You know, if there's, you don't know happy unless you know sad, you don't know sad unless you know happy, you don't know hot if you don't know cold. So there's always that constant, you know, reaction to the opposite and, you know, beginning. Love is hate. Hate is love. So that's what we talk about, the power of two. And I'm sure some numerologists will tell you all other kinds of things about the power of two. There's also, you know, that love and hate. That's my favorite line. You can't have the power of hate if you haven't had the power of love. At least that's what they tell me.
I like that thought, too. I've heard that in a way.
AP.
Yes.
I'm going to ask you, what do you think, do you think that anybody can be purely individualistic? And like, I know outside the normal diseases of narcissism and, you know, state of craziness and all of that, because there are crazy people that believe, you know, they're gods.
There are.
I'm not talking about the one percenters or the 1% of the 1%. I'm just talking about your daily life.
Yes.
Do you ever think you're just one in a million? Yes, you do. I know you do.
What I do for Westweight really puts me in a spot where I'm by myself most of the time, because unlike most people that have a regular job and they show up and they go to the same regular level, I have a group of things where I'm the only person doing all the things I'm doing, and so I'm always in a slightly different spot from everybody else, and I'm sort of proudly sort of individualistic, for want of a better word.
You're the head peacock. But you still observe, you still need all the people to do what you need to do.
I do. Yes, if they don't do what I'm asking, then I get very frustrated. Absolutely.
What about you, Hatter?
What was the question?
Your world. How individual is it? I mean, if you what you do and how you do it, you have your individualism, right? And then you have all the people around you. So what is your individualism? Like, what makes you stand out? Because in a world of, when we talk about twos, there's always our unique talent. So what's your unique talent that makes you an individual, even though you always need your two? What makes you you, Calvin?
Question.
What's your individual?
What's my... I don't know. I do like to be alone. How's that? I learned to like to be alone.
What about you, Adam?
This is a interesting topic I could go on about. My individualism within a sphere of two, like opposing ideas of one that is also two. Well, I'm such a gray area person to say I have one thing that stands out among what I would call my talent would be writing. That's what I would say my talent is. Communication. Being a Gemini, I already am naturally dualistic and have marrying aspects, two different sides of the same coin. So communication, Geminis tend to, some people talk them, but I mean, it's like you run into so many people under the sign. And they are like that sign. It's just crazy. But communication is my number one skill. And then that kind of like branches into all like the mediums of communication that you can kind of get into. And then that kind of branches into art. And so the arts would be, also something I find individualistic of myself. But, it's still also going to be a part of everything else. It's part of the experience of seeing and being a part of life. So, I don't think there is any true individualism. I really think, we're all really symbiotically connected, like infinitely beyond comprehension, not with only each other, but, the universe. They're starting to understand consciousness can be mapped, that consciousness actually has a mathematical properties to it, which math, lives outside the sphere of consciousness. So then... So if the universe is conscious, we're sharing in consciousness. It's not like we ourselves have consciousness apart from everyone else. It's that we have a shared consciousness. We're pulling from a pool of it, and we're taking from a pool of consciousness. Consciousness is another level of existence. Anyway, but you're really opening up a lot of ideas with me, talking to me. So I can go on, and I'm gonna shut up.
Okay. and I understand that's funny because I recently read a poem about, let's say, a volcano and natural disasters and things like that. And the gist of the poem was, could the rock or the volcano actually explode out of anger, or could the tidal wave or the tsunami come out of anger? And it was quite an interesting, you know, concept to me. Like, could that happen because that certain thing was angry? Well, you know, could it? You know, I don't know. And I thought that was very interesting to look at in that perspective is, did, you know, the, or was it just natural? I don't know. Did we make that particular entity or that natural thing become angry at us? Did we put too much pollution in it? Did we, you know, so I see where you're coming, where it's one whole consciousness. So I really appreciated that poem from that perspective. I thought that was pretty interesting.
I got an answer.
What?
I've always said that.
What is it?
I've always said that there's no big parasites on this planet than human species. And when the Earth is tired of us polluting the water and destroying it unnecessarily, really, most of it, it's going to just stop and shake like anything. Mother Nature is going to shake us all off the planet, just like fleas. And dangerous a talent?
Sure.
And I think so. And I come from kind of a world a little bit more like a piece where people, not quite as scary as AP, but you sit in a room and you have people that are, well, AP is like the ultimate do as I say, but I was in a room where people were combative, and you have to take the people are combative and say, okay, you have to put everything out on this table and tell me why A is not working or B is not working, and decide who you're going to tell to go to hell, basically, and who you're going to let stay in the train and then kick the other one out. And sometimes the one that got kicked out is not very happy with you, and you have to deal with those consequences. And, you know, sometimes I kick people out like AP.
Oh, you're talking about like team-building exercises for...
No.
Oh, I thought you were talking about like an actual team-building exercise. Yeah, like, oh, okay, HR stuff. I thought it was like team-building exercise.
No,
like, okay, you're in this imaginary scenario. We're all on a train. You have these items, and then, like, somebody's got it, and then everyone's like, okay, never mind.
No, I'm talking about executives that don't know how to behave with each other, so you have to go.
Oh, geez.
You have to go away.
Let me ask a question. Is it better to prosecute 10 people to 10 innocent people to guarantee getting one bad?
Oh, I know this philosophy.
Or is it better to let 10 criminals go to guarantee the safety of one innocent man?
It is better to trust in our justice system than to continually hurt people. I would. It is better it is better to trust our justice system than to cut off the hand of somebody who might be a thief.
That reminds me of the trolley problem. You know, that philosophical line of thought.
Yeah. Hey,
yeah,
AP, are you in a hurry? Because we're just talking philosophy right now. And I know you've got things to do this afternoon.
I have thought philosophy this week. I should have it noted. I always do. But I should really do my time and do some work. I should.
I know.
All things being equal. So let me grab my poem, which, as I said to you before, has the most wonderful picture of some Australian shepherds. And it's worth just for the picture of the two shepherds. Yeah. So this is not saccharine, just sweet. And it goes a little bit like this. Well past one, but then found there were two. Two more, and soon faced into by three. As unto that space we find falling anew, it helps to have a team renew by degree. As before there were two, there was only one. Thereafter always shepherd many more. But to highs or lows and losses but one, always past late, found a pairing in store. You could take the square and make 4, while exponent will resolve to 256. Divide by 8, which leaves a little more, is to finish grab the fifth square and mix. Without 4, there is no beat of 2, only 3-6, which is limited to repeat. History shows that when staring through, it pays to have 2 by 2. Just this sweet. End part.
I love this. I think it's just adorable. You know, as before, there were 2, was only 1. Thereafter, always shepherd many more. But 2 highs or lows, and losses but 1. Always past late, found a pairing in stores. I love how you use all the numbers and represent the shepherd, because 2 highs or lows and losses but 1. Always past late, found a pairing in store. I love the way you use words, just to let you know. And I can't follow math at all, but that's beside the point. So my question to you, AP.
Yes.
Because I'm trying to figure this out. It is a beautiful picture. But there's something in here I think I'm missing.
Oh. Right.
And I'm looking at this at face value, okay?
Yes.
But
yes.
I know you. And
yes,
I love
you
the poem, and it's adorable. And I'm thinking, okay, what am I missing? Because history shows that when staring through a page to have 2 by 2 just as sweet.
Well,
okay, because you like to put things inside of poems that I'm supposed to get.
Okay. Well,
like, you wrote a poem where all the pieces were a knife.
Yes. Yes.
And this
yes.
has a lot of math in it.
There is math in this. But the underlying message of this poem is actually very simple. And that is that, you know, we have a group here at a team of voices, and it's a 2 by 2 or a group of 4. And
I'm not missing the message. I just want to make sure.
Some other groups are, and so I might have noted those groups in passing somehow laterally, but the power of what we do is that, you know, we have 4 of us who, you know, put our heart and soul into doing what we do, and it works really well. That it's as simple as that. That's the message.
Okay, because that's what I thought it was. I thought it was the 4 of us, and we get together and we have this great work, and we, you know.
Yep.
That's it, and you know, we do really kind of, as a square, we work like in a rectangle and put a round peg in it. No matter how you put it together, we're always doing everything really well together, and that's kind of what I got out of it. It's really great. And then I'm like, what is that's not it? What's there something here I'm missing? And
not,
a hidden gem, and
because
that's
in this particular case, that.
All right, I didn't miss it. Boo. So I'm like, okay, maybe he's talking about some sheep running off the mountain and I'm missing it, and my dogs are supposed to catch him, and oh, no, what am I doing wrong?
No. No. It was, it was that simple yet sort of almost profound message that things work better when you have multiple people together doing them. That's all.
Good. Good. I'm glad I got it this time. Because, you know, you haven't done a tricky poem like that to me in a while. So, you probably do.
That's true. I'm due one.
I'm due one. I'm due one. I'll have to be on the lookout because I've been waiting for one.
Yeah, no.
Because you've done 2 to me, and I'm like, okay, when's the next one coming? When is the next one? Like, it'll be about a boat, and I won't know it, and you'll have all the ship parts in there. Because, Adam, if you've never had a trick poem by, just waiting.
Yeah. Noted.
Noted, yes. Because, you know, it's coming. All right. So good luck this evening, sir. All right. Thank you. 2 by 2 by 2. Let's see. Let's go in here. All right, so who made the movie where everything was a parallel universe, about the mathematical parallel universe? It was a movie a couple of years ago. I'm trying to remember what movie it was. If anybody can remember.
I know the science. Talking about the a jump in time.
Yes. That was like if we all live like.
It was a Capricorn. Who do you know? Remember who was in it?
But he talked about
Douglas.
Wow, it was like it was really weird. It's like it showed us all in our parallel universes, like going through it. It was really bizarre. It's almost done like a documentary. That's Stephen Hawking.
Quantum Leap.
It was really bizarre. But anyway, it talked about the power of two and how we all have like two or three different parallel universes going on at the same time. So that was kind of crazy. I had a hard time following it myself, but we'll see how it goes. There's a current movie out like that, and it's like everything all at once. If you haven't seen it, I would suggest you try. It's kind of bizarre.
Now, that's why I am going to disappear, but can I give my Douglas Adams Australia quote first?
Yes, please. I do like that.
Because I love Douglas Adams. Douglas Adams is my favorite all-time writer. He's a British person, but he understood Australians really well. And his quote about America or Canada and Australia is as follows. Every country is like a particular person. America is like a belligerent adolescent boy. Canada is like an intelligent 35-year-old woman. Australia is like Jack Nicholson. End quote.
You know, I'm waiting for you to do a show just on that quote.
I think that is a wonderful quote. I think that quote just sort of gets the world just the way I see it as an Australian. I think it just gets it perfectly.
I agree. I love that. Because we Americans are adolescent boys.
Canada,
we are a bunch of adolescent
children. Like a redheaded stepchild tags along with us, but our aunt.
Hey. I think they're more like the 35-year-old woman.
I agree. Yeah, I'm going. I'm going to get some work. Have fun, sweetie.
Take it easy,
sir. Power to your two. Two to the power of two and all that. Have fun. Talk soon.
Thank you. Talk soon.
Okay. Bye.
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 Bye. So now we're back to our universe and the twos of the twos. All right. Let's go back into my world. I didn't even ask you guys how you liked his poem. We didn't even go there.
Great.
I'm the only one that talked about it. So how did you guys like his poem? I just talked about it. How did you like his poem?
Hatter or Adam? I thought you said Hatter.
Adam. Adam Bomb.
That doesn't help.
Yeah.
Adam.
I thought it was interesting. I was totally lost. Great writing and rhythm and things that, natural things that AP does all the time. I would say they probably are like second nature for him, really. But just, it was so niche just for you and like, everything around that. But I totally was lost. Like when it started getting into numbers, I thought he was dog breeding. Like, okay, I'm going to take dog 3, mix it with dog 7. And, you get, I started thinking it was about dog breeding. And like, I thought like, there were some like words that could be used like in like, the sense of like the prestige of the dog and things. Anyways, I was like way out in outer space, man. I was totally gone with that. I had no clue. But I liked the sentiment behind it. Ultimately, could feel that there was a sentiment behind it. So that was cool. And then his explanation was like, oh, okay. So there was a sentiment to it. I wasn't totally lost, but I was like, oh. But I would have swore dog breeding. Like professional dog breeding, like with like a prestigious breed, and you like, you know, pedigree of the dog, and anyways.
And Hatter, what did you think about his sweetness towards our group?
Yeah, I like when it used the math in it, the play on words, the numbers used.
Yeah.
It's always clever, you know. Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, I did too. Yep, I liked it too.
Not sacrilege, just sweet.
So there's a wild indie movie about parallel dimensions. I can't remember what it's called, though, so I shouldn't even have mentioned it. I totally forgot the name of it. I thought you might have been talking about that earlier, but you weren't. But it did come out like early last year or the year before, so I thought you might have been talking about it. So like there's a comet. Maybe you've seen it. It was like heralded as like an awesome, like one of the best sci-fi indie movies. There's actually no special effects like whatsoever in the whole movie. It's all done very plain, but it's a total mind F. Total mind F the whole movie.
The superhero one? Are you talking about?
No, it's no superhero.
There was two that...
No, there's a comet flying over the Earth, and there's and the news, the scientists are saying there might be a little bit of weirdness, but nothing serious. But this one of the characters, and it's like it's a dinner party. All these old friends are getting together, and like early in the movie, there's this weird call like going on like this couple's car ride to the dinner party out in the boondocks. Oh, it's in a neighborhood actually. But anyhow, next thing you know, and I'm going to be ruining the twist of everything, you find out this meteor is like disrupting dimensional time and space because it's so massive, and like. It's warping and bending the lines that actually this little blip, like everybody gets put in a bubble that's like all nearly infinite because there's actually a calculable amount of dimensional. Somehow they explained it. There's a calculable amount of dimensional variance that there actually can be. It's not infinite, but it's so outrageous. It's an astronomical number, though, like 63 million. And so really this dinner party of people is like passing through like 63 million different dimensional things. And you like people come, like they leave the house, like there's like the lights go out and all this power dies. And they're like, oh, well, the house down the street. Well, it's actually the same house in another dimension that they send two people to go to. Well, then two more people come back, the same people, but they're actually from another dimension. It's so wild and you don't know where this thing is going. And it's so great and smart and clever for no special effects, but totally sci-fi. It was an indie movie, and I can't remember the name. Sorry. I'm, like, eating up all the time talking about this really cool movie.
I just looked up the movies with time travel and parallel universes, and I'll name them off. In 2011, there was Source Code. 2019, there was Coherence.
Coherence is it. Yep.
Okay. And then in 2012 was Looper. Then 2004, Butterfly Effect. 2009, Nobody.
Donnie
Darko.
Cool,
Frequency. Darko. Frequency was one.
That was
the
a
Time
cool
Traveler's
one.
Wife. Deja Vu. Midnight in Paris. So 12 Monkeys.
Yeah, 12 Monkeys is
12 Monkeys
one, right?
A freaky movie.
Yeah, I love that one.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's so there's the movie with Stephen Hawking that was done like a documentary, they say there's only a couple, so you're saying like two divergent dimensional things happening all at the same time, though. So there's the space you're occupying, and then two more are simultaneously happening, but like, is that like accumulative, like, every moment you exist, there's another two and then another two, and it's exponential. And I can't imagine there only being two, honestly.
Right.
They say why it's happening in the movie. The strange things begin to happen when a group of friends gather for a dinner party on an evening when a comet is passing overhead. So the comet seems to be causing the time fluctuation.
Oh, yeah. It's a wild one. I recommend checking that out, Coherence. Yeah, Coherence.
Yeah, it's a good one.
It's a good one. Good indie movie. No special effects. I told my friend about it. She was like into it, and then she was watching it drunk though, drinking, watching it, and she just totally was lost. I'm like, what is it? It was too much of a mind F when it starts picking up and intensifying with the tension and the almost thriller aspect of it, because it does that, like a build where suddenly it's like very tense and you're like, whoa, this is getting wild. It's more is like slightly revealed and faster pace to go, you know. It was great. Well done. Anyway.
What do you think of the particle accelerator in Geneva, outside Geneva, the CERN? The dangers of what they're possibly doing. Yeah, with ripping the fabric of time, possibly creating something they can't stop.
I don't believe in it.
Right. I mean, it's revealed a lot of, been a lot of breakthroughs in our understanding because of it already. So, and if something was going to happen, it would have happened. I mean, that's about as far as, like, you know what I mean? Like, if it was going to happen, it would have happened by now. They've been doing that forever. And then you also have the one that's bigger than that, like under Michigan. So the secret one that's ours. Like, there's other, you know, so it's like if something was going to happen, it would have happened already. They have,
right, I think so too.
Yeah.
Well, the suspicion comes from they took over 20 years to build it. They put it online for a week, used it for a couple days, and then shut it down. I mean, they understand there's so much data that they have to analyze. It'll take years to understand what they found. That's what they say. But it's just the curious.
Yeah, no, I hear you. It is curious. That's where they started getting the God particle ideas and stuff from the what they were seeing. And it's interesting stuff.
Wow.
But, the stuff AI is helping us with right now when it comes to math is, like, we're really going far, especially. Yeah, AI is helping us a lot.
Elon Musk's warning to the world, and he even had private meetings with heads of state about the dangers of AI and to be aware of it and keep that in your brain.
So did Stephen Hawking. Yeah, so did Stephen Hawking. Yeah. That was his last, like, basic warning before he passed away. AI will be the end of us, which it would be, but I think we'll be able to pivot with it into – and he's mainly talking about super AI, which is a whole other animal – super AI is like a god, nearly. It's godlike.
That's going to be the whole other world when we get to twos and threes and fours. But, hey, guess what, guys? I think Deb's on the line. Let's say hello to Deb. Hello, Deb.
Hello, my sweet.
How are you?
Hey, Deb.
Hey, hey. How you doing?
We've dropped into parallel universes and powers of twos and butterflies effects and all the fun stuff.
I just got back.
Hey, yeah. Brock.
Hey.
But we've got a couple of twin stories. We got a poem on the board.
I forgot to post mine.
We got a poem on the board. Are you back, Hatter? Are you back?
I'm back. I forgot to post my thing.
Good. So I put one of my old poems on the Wind Queen. If you're ready. You got it, Hatter?
I'm running down the hall as you speak. Yes, I do.
Okay. Are you ready, Adam? Okay, so this is called The Twin Queens. The island floats in angry waves of blackening sea. The guards, the golden castles of a wicked queen, warmly wrapped in the skins of her enemies. Walls of granite hung a cold, weeping room. The xylophones of bones played a ballad of a lonely tune. Her sacrifice to control the risings of a red blood moon. Mirror, mirror anchored on the wall. Talked and squawked, said nothing at all. Not a tool or a fool could make it fall. Bewitched by an image she wished to know. Herself the goddess, the ruler, the star of her show. She reached in for the reflection, and she didn't let it go, pushing and pulling the queen's battle through the glass. Blood poured from screaming queens like smooth jazz. Vicious equality of hated, unmasked in wooden box masks. Severed head held in hand, mirror self-destructed, heartbeats increased, the status of a queen's interrupted. The world of darkness and fairy tales now complicated. Twin queens battled in own reflection bout, now kissing entangled tongues in the mouth. Control of the blood moon, the queen looking in or out. And the poem.
And
so there is duality.
That one's so good.
Yeah.
I got it on a couple lists. Man, oh man. Between that soft tone in your voice that's all sultry and then the actual wording here where we got severed heads and squawked, said nothing at all. I mean, it's just like the visuals and the wickedness. And then I scroll down here and I see that you not only got applause, but also the bowing, I'm not worthy hands. That's how much I like this one. So just as great hearing it this time. Love, love, love it. Hatter, what you think?
It's on two of my lists. No. Yeah, I remember.
Two.
I was going to ask you.
What? Thank you.
Unmute. Did you hear me?
Didn't mean to interrupt you, Hatter, but it's on two of mine and two of yours and two of Sweet's. It's the power of two. Adam, what you think?
The power of two.
Right. Yeah, I love the mythology being kind of created through this idea. I've heard that, I saw a movie called, but now I'm thinking of a movie called Blood Moon that would kind of links parallel dimensions. So it's really interesting that, you know, something about, you know, the mirror, that there's almost, you know, she's fighting with this mirror version of herself in a mirror, like a physical mirror. And only one of them is going to make it through this blood moon night. And it's really interesting to think that you're actually, you know, to kill yourself. It's not really yourself. You know, there's some wild ideas here. And the writing, of course, is gorgeous, dark, very grim. I love the fairy tale, and that dark manner is very, is superb. It's awesome, and I'm really, like, want to see more of this world. Like, did she gain some sort of higher, I don't feel like she gained some sort of status, or just maybe it's like a, she's just relieved that she survived that weird moment. Did she know it was going to happen? Was it, like, ritualistic? Because I felt like it was actually part of a ritual at first, like, or later. Very interesting. Like, I was intrigued by this. Great storytelling. Like, it really had me, like, what is this world? I want to know more of the story of this world. What's going on? You know, it's cool. And the picture just fits perfectly with, well, what you wrote fits perfectly with the picture. It's great.
Thank you. Yes, this is one of Deb's pictures that she sent me. So, yeah.
I was going to ask.
Really good. Yeah. Yeah. Definitely one of Deb's pictures, so this was a lot of fun. It's a long time ago, though. Huh, Deb?
Yeah.
That's nice a long time ago picture.
It's nice when you can find a place to reread some when they're that good.
I had fun with that. It was definitely a power of two picture. I was like, oh, yeah, that's great.
You can tell
really
you had fun with
that
it,
one.
Too. Like, you can tell you
can really enjoyed it. Can I write to that picture? Can you do that?
Of course you can.
It's a little disturbing.
Write whatever you want. It's a little disturbing, but I like it a lot.
I like it, too. I I got to remember.
Second, that was one of my new ones. The second I saw that picture, I was like, oh, yeah, that's perfect. It's like,
yeah, I know.
Sometimes, you know, you get pictures and you're like, oh, I don't know. But I saw that one. I was like, oh, yeah, that's perfect. You didn't think I'd do something like this, not like crazy and wonderful.
Yeah, I posted mine on your page. I forgot to do that.
All right. So, Hatter, get to reading then. You posted on the board or on the page? Are you posting? Hello,
PB.
On the
page, but
how are you?
Okay. All
right.
Put it on.
Posted it on my page.
Oh. I lost it. I got to go get it again.
You got to go get it again. Why are you doing that to me? Okay. Deb, I have two new people that posted poems. I didn't even look. Do we have permission on those?
I will go and look right now.
I can go and look.
I
can't
yes.
talk.
We absolutely
if
do.
If I do, I can't talk.
I have that same issue. I have that same issue.
I can't talk and read and, you know, all of that kind of fun stuff. Let me see. I can do both.
Right? I heard that.
I almost bowed out of this.
Well, okay.
Almost bowed out of this because of this, right? So we'll see how it goes.
Oh, Hatter, you kill me.
Going to buy some shoes. Buy one, get one free, it read, and was going to save me. A coupon in hand, going to see the man, going to buy some shoes. Finally, I found two pair my size. With cash in hand, my coupon will buy. I set my shoes so they all could see when the clerk took my coupon and handed it back to me. She said, this is not a two-for-one deal. You didn't read it all. On the back, it reveals, buy one, get one free. She stood there smiling at me. You buy the left, I'll make it right. Buy one shoe, the other is free. Buy two today, and I'll give you three. Three pair of two, I'm a bit confused. Who would buy just one shoe? What can get you here, my friend, to buy and spend here at Skippity-Doo Shoes? So I'll tell you, you see, nothing is free, and don't believe all that you read. But it says right here, look and compare anywhere else in the city. You'll match the price, so make it right. Do what the coupons say. Give me a pair and the other to share so I can be on my way. Coupons are tools used by fools. We don't play that game. Give away things good money can bring. You think we are insane. But it says right here to look and compare anywhere else in the city. And to use this coupon before they're all gone, buy one, get one free. Why would I give away two shoes? Why would I give away two shoes at a time? When you'll need one, we'll do this all the time. We do this all the time. I can't believe this happened to me, so I sat down and put a pair on, and before they knew it, I said, screw it, and poof, I was gone. What I left was the money, and I'm sure it was funny when they saw I left the coupon. Written were words, I thought it absurd, and consider this your bad luck. So life lesson learned, I'll never return, and stick that coupon up your in poem.
Oh, yay! I love this. Oh, my God. Hatter, this is awesome. So who the hell needs some shoes? Oh, my God. This is fabulous. I love this.
Buy one, get one free.
And I love that you wrote it. Yeah. Buy one, get one free. You'll only get three unless you buy four. But you need another coupon, and then you'll get five. Oh. This is a great poem, and you wrote it by 45 minutes ago. So I love all the rhyme in it because I can't do that.
I put it in here. I had it on paper first, so I've been working on it.
Okay, you put it in here 45 minutes ago. But that's cool.
Yes, I did.
That's awesome. And you know what? They do so many weird things like that with coupons. Like, if you don't buy, like, four of something, it goes back to full price, but you can buy like, I don't know, they do that with, like, soup, or they do that, like, with potato chips when things are on sale at the grocery store. It makes no sense. Like, you would really only need two of something, but you have to buy four of it to get, the price, and I can't stand that.
Yeah.
Like, why the hell, or how would I ever use, like, four cans of petite potatoes or petite – it's going to take me 6 months to use that. But if I don't buy four, it's going to cost me, like, $3 more. I don't know if you guys run into that problem. But it drives me nuts. I'm just saying.
Yeah, that's the Costco. That's the Costco of the Sam's. That's what I used to do.
If you don't buy them all, then you charge a full price.
Yeah.
And it's like – it's not if you got a place for it, it's not a bad thing to do. But like you said, you don't need some of them are ridiculous.
Right. I just don't need it. And the chances are that I'm going to go to the store and forget that I have three other cans and buy four more. So at the end of the month, I'm going to have seven cans of frickin' potatoes or petite potato, tomatoes. I don't know why.
Or buy
and then it drives me
100 pounds of pickles. 100 pounds of pickles.
Yeah. It's a little pickle syndrome. Oh. Or, I don't know what's going on in your grocery stores, but now we have this stupid-ass thing that I cannot stand, the digital coupon, where if you scan it with your phone, you even get more money off of it. I hate the digital coupon. I hate it. I hate the digital coupon.
Right. And they're trying to put all the good ones digital. Any coupon really worth their salt is digital.
I know. And half the time my phone QR reader doesn't read. And then you get the crazy lady at the registers going, well, if you would have downloaded it correctly, listen, you're 92 years old. You don't even know how to use a smartphone. So please, don't tell me how to use my QR reader. So, or you
no, see, what you do is you just go to
self-checkout.
And you scan one item and you put the rest in your cart. Like, are you just like, okay. I bought these, not really. No, that's stealing. Don't do that.
I don't go to – I torture people at self-checkout. I don't go to self-checkout. I refuse to go to self-checkout. I'm in HR. I can't do it. Because if I cut my finger, I don't know whose workman's comp I'm supposed to claim.
We got a store out here where people are just walking in, walking out with stuff, filling carts and walking out, and they're letting them do it. It just happens to be the same.
I seen that once, like, before my eyes. An elderly woman did it. I just had to laugh and say, you get them.
This is one story. It happens to be the same place that the buses arrive and let people off. So I don't know. They have videotape. People go in there and just videotape it happening all the time. Employees can't stop it.
It happens a lot. The smash and grab is funny. Well, they're not funny, but yeah. No, I'm really a pain in the ass. My husband can't stand it. Oh, Baccarat just died. That's awful.
Hmm. Oh, okay. I'm like lost now. I don't know where I am in this conversation.
My sweet.
That's okay. That's all right.
You have entered the twilight.
We're talking about Chris.
Right.
You have entered the twilight zone. We're talking about bad coupons and bad people that just go in and rip food off. So, again, you've got good people, you got bad people, and you've got me, your host, CC, that refuses to use a self-checkout line because I don't like the fact that it takes jobs away from people, and then people think I work for them. I don't work for you. You're not paying me $15 an hour to do your work for you.
Right.
So I draw the line in the because
I think it's all
I just can't do it.
I think it's all about how fast you want to get out of the store.
Yeah, I use it because of my anxiety. I'm like, I want to get out of here as fast as I can, and I don't want to deal with things. Helps me.
And I can't do it because I don't work
myself.
For you, and you're making me work for you.
Yeah, it is kind of a tricky little clever idea. They turned it around. Like, use this machine and
you
check yourself out now.
See, now I become your cashier. How did that work? I don't get a paycheck from you.
Right.
And what happens? See, I think, like, okay, what happens if I cut myself on a box and I need stitches? Is that workman's comp for me? No, but it's your box.
And the man is right over
there.
I
get very confused. Who's going to run and get me a price check? Do I have to do that now? I don't know. I get very confused at self-checkout. Who do I call, the manager? I don't know. It's very confusing.
Yeah, I had the most nightmarish event happen to me on a price check when I was young.
Yeah? Were you getting tampons for your mother?
My daughter was just born, and I was told to go get some things at Kmart. So I'm trying to find things to hide sort of what I have in my cart. It was what women need after childbirth type of thing. And sure, I get up there and she needs a price check. Without getting
on the things.
Well, the lady behind me felt my I turned red. Bright red. Just get me out of this store, please. You know, need a price check on a super pad, blah blah, feminine something.
But see, that's the power of love. That's the power of two.
Well, that's what the one lady said. That's one lady gave me some kudos and said that's a good husband. So,
see,
get me out of here.
That's love. See, that's good. Perfect.
Yeah,
that ain't
going
through
my mind. That's not going through my mind.
I know that.
Just think love.
Just think love.
I love that, like, almost like, not to, like, age ahead or anything of that nature, but guys of a different generation have issues with this. It's funny because, like, I don't think younger men of a different generation actually have issues with going to fetch these things. It's not their, you know, it's not them. You know, it's not for them. It's like just getting somebody a sandwich. That's how I feel about it. If I got to get hygiene products of any kind for my lady,
mayonnaise
or whatever.
And tampons, okay, not a problem, honey.
Yeah, I mean, what do you want me to go run by Subway too? I mean, I don't know. It's just like it's another thing. But it's a different. I think it's a generational thing. You know, it's like another generation. It's a private matter, and it's kind of it's out on Front Street all of a sudden, especially being announced. You know, I get it. It's kind of like a thing, but it's just a product.
That's
you know,
funny.
I mean, toilet paper is kind of an embarrassing thing. No one's like, you know, oh, toilet paper.
Yeah, when you
I guess
that's
so common.
I
went down a whole other road.
I don't know.
The back alleys.
All right. Adam, where's your poem?
Poom.
Oh, there it is.
It's in there.
I found it. I was looking for it. Oh, my goodness. It's been one of those days. All right.
And
I
got
to find my group again. But I got it.
Thank
Where's
you.
My group? Where's my group? Where's my group?
I wrote for
people?
This, you know.
People.
And I don't know. Somehow it may, you know, got front page pick. I wrote it specifically for, you know, your contest. And I did, you know, end up sharing it somewhere. You know, the delay.
Wait a minute, is this for my contest?
I meant this show. This delayed show.
Okay, don't do this. Okay, don't. Just say my contest is.
No, I missed your contest.
Don't.
I heard about it and I missed it. And I was like, I didn't even know. Dang.
I know I have a contest at Walker next week. There's a new one.
Oh, I gotta look under the contest. I gotta do that. I don't check contests frequently, so I need to do that.
Yes, I have one going called. I don't know what it's called now.
Dance in the Blood of My Broken Heart.
Yeah, Dance in the Blood of My Broken Heart.
I heard it was
first you have to read
it
this.
Was finished. Okay.
I don't think so. I think it's got a couple of days on it. Maybe not.
Maybe I can squeeze in. This is We Dance. We venture betwixt and twine the twilight of night's gentle kiss today, woven in interlocked embrace, chest to chest, hearts throb and thrum. Our fingers stumble to know, yours in my pocket and mine in your hair. Our eyes dual, peering deep, what's beneath my ocean blue storms, and what would I find in your earthen warm browns? We wax and wane in this play as the moon's phase eclipsed by passion's rush and patience witness. The endless sea and infinite below, heaven spins on the surface as we daydream into tomorrow's sleeping, tomorrow's sleep foretelling in the echo back. Footfalls of destiny walk on into falls, rushing in waves of rebirth, bending reason of meanings into abstract paintings and sounds of music. The spine tingles as lips split, fit, and pressed kiss, pressing reality into the visceral. Rippling in ripe anxiety, exciting with the touch of flushed, panicked heat, enticing. The electric buzz and dull heat, the sink of a stomach taken flight by butterflies in the fire of light. Pale flesh glows as the harvest moon, as I married the night within you, the pearl orb of comfort, my sanctuary, setting the jewel of tomorrow's promise upon your head, we dance as it all comes back again. End poem.
Wow, that's beautiful. I love how you bring dancing as a power too. I really do. Because I don't think there's anything more beautiful than dancing with someone close. And I love the whole... Our fingers stumble to know yours in my pocket and mine in your hair. I think that's just a beautiful thought of, you know, people becoming one into two or two into one. And just FYI, I would have thought this was my other show, but this is just, you know, gorgeous, because the beauty of two is definitely in a dance. We dream into tomorrow's sleep, foretelling the echo back, footfalls of destinies walking to falls, rushing waves of river. I think this is gorgeous. I absolutely see why it's on the front page. Rippling in ripe anxiety, exciting with the touch of flesh. That's a great line, too. I have a tendency to go through your lines. I'm almost like Deb when I read you. It's I have Deb-isms. I like this. pale flesh glows as the harvest moon. I have Deb-isms when I read the Adam stuff. Deb-isms. Or, because Deb gets into a poem. It's a compliment.
Yeah, no.
It's a big compliment.
It's a compliment. That's how I took it, too.
Absolutely, because Deb, like, knows really good lines, so when she, you know, she picks out the best lines. As lips split and fit in precipices. So I'm going to stop because this is beautiful, and I'm going to go ahead and give it to Deb and let her go on with the isms. What do you think, Deb?
Thank you so much, sweetie.
Well, I think I had to add it to my favorites list for one. And I love the wording here, like our eyes dual peering deep, what's beneath my ocean blue storms. But where was that other, we wax and wane in this play as the moon phase eclipsed. Like, wow, footfalls of destiny walk on into falls, rushing waves of reverb, bending reason of meanings into abstract paintings. It is gorgeous, the electric buzz and the dull heat, the sink of the stomach taking flight by butterflies and the fire of light. Like, you know, you can't go wrong with a poem that has butterflies in it, just saying. But I like your descriptions of that feeling that you get when you're in that dance, we dance. I really, really like this one. This is my new favorite poem.
Oh, thank you so much, Deb. Appreciate that.
And Hatter, your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with Deb. That line, rushing in waves of reverb, bending reason of meanings into abstract paintings and sounds of music. Great run-on feel to it. And there are several other metaphoric lines throughout this piece that you can tell it takes imagination. And the juices got to flow when you can write like this. Very good.
Oh, man, thanks, Ed. Appreciate that.
Yeah,
this is gorgeous. I want to want to be twirled between each word and then, you know, the stance between the stanzas. I love this. So you definitely have to be in the contest. And maybe it ended. No, it didn't end today. I don't even know my own contest. Isn't that horrible?
It says 0 days or 4 entries.
I'll have to bump it up a day.
Yeah, because I'm not finished mine either. I'm just like, ah.
All right, I'll give it a couple more days.
Well, I can squeeze in.
Uh-huh. All right. All right, so Deb, I'm going to throw you up next. If you want to throw your poem on the board.
I can. I'll do that right now.
All right.
I was just saying hey to JCA. He's on the chat wall.
Yeah, I see
that. Hi, JCA. And it's your 8th anniversary? Deborah Lee.
It is. I got a note from Kevin. 8 years today. Which means it's my grandma's birthday up in heaven. Just saying. All right, so there's a team of voices, and here comes the link. And I went way out of the box with this one. It was fun, and it all ties to whales, which my sweet loves, so it's all good. And this is called Enter the Twilight Zone. No, not that one. And here we go. Salt water oscillates in the sunlight zone, tossed by the sun, then by the moon, too, setting the ebb as the water flows to land, spreading salted foam in the sea shoreline view. And underneath that lighted underwater zone, turtles swim with jellyfish and hammerheads, too. But the midnight zone lies deep in the darkness at 18 degrees below the horizon's light, shadowing the sea world with dark sea, the creatures swim in black and white. In the dimness, the sea monsters dwell, swimming in water stained like night. Down between the tide's two-ness flows the wet twilight in the duo divide. It houses whales and squid and marlins that feed from the aquamarine ocean tide. Enter the twilight zone made by the two above. Without dark and light, no whales can reside. End poem.
Oh, I love that. Good.
And if you scroll down.
Oh, not that twilight zone.
If you scroll down, each picture has a zone next to it. And of course it ends with the beautiful whale in the twilight zone. But this was fun, sweet.
Oh, great. Big old shark. Thank you. Thank you. I like this. That is so cool, though. Even, like, you talk about, you know, you're going through all of that. Even in the depths of the ocean, everything lies in twos. I like the tides, twos, flows the wet, twilight. Okay. So now I feel like I'm on Sky's classroom. Everybody listen up, or I'll get out the ruler because this is Sky. 18 degrees. And that's just
wait, wait, wait. No, that's not fair. I gave you all the input. Well, you didn't have to do any homework. So Sky's the homework.
I know,
please.
Yes, but I just feel like it, you know. But this
so where's
is really
my
cool.
Damn
I like
apple?
This a lot. Well, you know, with me, it's probably on some Wicked Witch's head or in somebody's basket that you don't want anywhere near. So if you want to creep on by her, you're more than welcome to. I like flows the wet twilight in the dual divide. It houses whales and squid and marlins. As long as it doesn't house snakes, I'm good. But even though they eat mice and all that kind of stuff, so they're even good for something. There's always the yin and the yang. Very good. I kind of think of...
My sweet.
Yeah. I like shadowing the sea world and dark secrets, the creatures swim in blacks and whites, and the dimness the sea monsters dwell, swimming in the waters strained like the night. I get fascinated with things that parallel and go all the way up. Like whales eat plankton, like the biggest thing in the world eats the smallest thing, which is duality, which, you know, like kind of what we were talking about at the beginning of the show, like the smallest things affect the biggest things and the biggest things affect like the smallest things, which was all back in parallel universes and connectivity and how we're all symbiotic to each other. But we won't get back into that because that was like freaky. So Hatter, your thoughts.
Thanks, sweet.
No, I love the way Deborah's total thinking, the different levels or the different depths. Yeah, it does hold different types of wildlife or sea life. I was just trying to go through and see how many I could name. But I think I got them all but one.
Which one?
The big-eyed one in the middle. Is that a puffer fish? No, that's big, two big eyes.
Yeah, that one's weird looking. Depth three. It's in the dark zone, the third zone.
Below the Dumbo. Yeah, below the Dumbo. The Dumbo octopus and the Humboldt school.
Yeah, it's a funny one. It's so cute, though, because usually it's the perfect angle for it to look cute, because those zone three ones don't usually look very good.
I think it's a squid, Hatter.
The one that... Oh, really?
Yellow one?
Got two big...
The one I couldn't figure
no,
out.
It's
the one that was right...
Between the Dumbo, in between the Dumbo octopus and the Humboldt squid. The number three...
There's
an eel? It's got black background, big eyes. It's waving at you, sort of.
It's like wiggling its fins like a hummingbird almost, like it's trying to do the hummingbird waggle. It's got like a tail flickering too in the background trying to balance itself out. It's a very interesting fish. Big F and
almost
eyes.
Looks like a type of puffer.
Wild fish.
Adam, what did you see?
I thought this was a fun, informative and fun poem. Like it was fun, and then all these gifts afterward made it so interesting. You could see, like, brings you into the world a little bit closer, you know, and kind of like the language, of course, is great, and her she wrote it so well. But there was like I always had an affinity for the environment, whatever, you know, ecosystem we're in. And I love this, and I found that, like, when we look at it, it's almost like the second zone is like a balance zone. Like it balances the ocean and it keeps, you know, kind of keeps, it's like, it's the most delicate part almost. It was interesting, like looking at what creatures, sea creatures are on, you know, it's very interesting. I started thinking like that kind of thought, like the twilight zone is like a balance kind of thing going on.
Cool. Like that thought. I like the idea that, you know, we have to live as like together as one to be one. Like it's like a weird thought, like one world together for individualism, because if we're not one, or we're not like if we don't live symbiotic, we can never be the individuals. I know that we talked about that earlier. It's like, how does
right,
our
like
individualism
a paradox almost.
Right, yeah, like we're all dichotomies. Like I can't be an individual unless you're with me or you're part of who I am, because my individualism means nothing unless somebody's there to notice I'm an individual.
Well, that's the thing too.
So
right?
Bizarre. Yeah.
Yeah, and almost touches on some quantum physics ideas too. Of like, you actually have to witness matter with consciousness for it to actually exist.
Yeah, the whole there's a truth all in the force crap.
Kind of, yeah. That touches with that idea. Like that's actually profound and true and found in the science of quantum physics. That old philosophical idea of a tree falls in the woods. Yeah.
Yes.
No, what is it? If you put a
that's
cat
so
in a
cool.
box with
Schrodinger's cat. Yes.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, the box with the cat is dead or alive. See, the whole box with the cat thing doesn't jive with me, because if the cat's dead, you're gonna smell it. That's all there's to it.
It's an abstract thought, you know. So, yeah, you're going to know.
Yeah. Like, yeah, no, that cat is dead. I can smell that. That cat's rotten, just saying.
Poor kitty.
No, you don't. It's a scent-proof box. It's sealed tight. There's no
way to... Oh, okay, I see.
There's a way to get around that idea, but all right.
I guess so.
But, yeah, I love that. It's funny, though, as just a joke sandwich. Like, I would smell the dead cat, of course. You know, that's one of my most haunting old memory smells is a dead cat. Ugh. I found
yeah,
it
exactly.
under this big, like I was a little kid and I found it under this boulder-ish thing. You know what a boulder would be to a little tiny kid. And it broke my, I remember weeping because I smelled it. I never had smelled the dead end, like the death smell before. And it really
yeah.
traumatized me. I was like, who killed this cat behind this building? Oh my God. And I weeped.
Like, oh no.
Anyways, I didn't mean to go there, but yeah, that's an old smell. Yeah, I wept.
No, you're right. I wept upon the rock of the cat. The death of the cat.
I used to cry, like, all the time. If I seen a dog on, like, hit on the side of the road, I'd weep all the time.
I was such a softy kid.
I was so sensitive.
I still do. So.
I hardened up over time. You know, that happens, too.
Oh, I'm
you
so
know,
sorry.
People, you know, steal your soul
all right.
or your heart.
Deb, do you want to read Angel for me since you are her favorite reader? That would be lovely.
Deb does read very wholeheartedly and beautifully.
I will grab it now.
Yeah.
Angel, where are you? There she is. Okay, I'm bringing it.
Yeah.
And here it is.
Just two of us. Now I'm singing that song.
My heavenly angel. And here we go. Loving you is best feeling I've ever known, and being with you is all I long to do. I could not live without this love we now own, my every dream you have made come true. I try to concentrate on other things, but these thoughts just won't subside. The words are beckoning to be written, the thoughts and feelings not to be denied. Without you, my world surely would crumble away. Your love's the music that makes my heart sing. I need you, my darling, always in my arms to stay. Our love shall blossom as the pretty flowers in spring. I could never replace your warm embrace. It's you alone that I adore. And if my arms instead were angel wings, in these heavens forever we would soar. I've almost said amen. End poem.
Wait, I'm confused. Your arms aren't angel wings? That's not true. Just so that you know. I love her poems. I think she's probably, if All Poetry ever had a nomination for the best love poems, because this should be my first nomination. Because she always has the sweetest things to say. I don't know how she does it, but she makes love sound like this gentle lapping wave at the ocean, right at the perfect tangerine sunset, and the sun's just perfectly warm on your face. I have a way of making it sound like acid rain in the middle of a nuclear sun, you know, bombing or something. We are complete opposite, and that is why I love her. I just can never make this sound as beautiful as you do, my dear heaven. It's just amazing. I wish I had the gentleness you have, and using the right words, using everything that you do use. Heavenly, you always make me smile. You always make me feel comfort, and you always make me want to fall in love. I love the way you make me feel warm. I need you, my darling, always in my arms to stay. Our love shall blossom as pretty flowers of spring. Very, very pretty. And, of course, it's always about two. Even though I know some people that love themselves more than love anyone else. So there is that kind of love. Hatter, your thoughts?
Yeah, it's just, it, it's a hallmark. It's warm, fuzzy, belongs on card somewhere. People should pay to read this.
And Adam, your thoughts?
I love those thoughts. Yeah, I mean, it does have like you do feel the warmth. Like it's almost a feeling. Like you said it first, sweet. Yeah, you really feel that warmth. Just I don't know if it's ethereally affecting me. Like I can feel the emotions of it. I like that. I'm a lover of love, and I like that idea. You know, I love the ideas within this. You know, I love how you know, the music of her, that makes her heart sing. You know, all of this is just wonderful sentiment, and it's inspiring. And I want to feel that love again. And yeah, I just like you were saying, like it makes me want to be in love again, like to know that again.
The warm fuzzy.
It's such a unique feeling when you're in love with somebody. You know, it's you can love people, but then the in love with this one, that exclusivity of that special love, you take a little bit higher, I guess, you know, because it's the most intimate one you can have, specifically with one person. That kind of intimate in love feeling, I just, you know, it makes you want it again. You know, it's something special. Wonderful, Heavenly Angel.
Yeah, it is. And, Deb, you read it, so what did you think?
Yeah, you know, hers are always so easy to read because you 99.9% of the time you get a little lift in your spirit from the beauty and the love and the romance that she's got in it. And this one was no exception. And you know, and I like how it starts out, for those who can't see it, the title, Just the Two of Us, and it's a picture of a couple, and they're walking through maybe a field of wheat, but they're hand in hand. And then to take us through the declaration of love for the person, and then down to that last, I could never replace your warm embrace. It's you alone that I adore, but I really love the closing two lines. And if my arms instead were angel wings, in these heavens forever we would soar. And it's just like a great way of saying from the now until the after, you know, it's you forever and ever and ever and amen and all that. You know, I mean, it's just, her poems are always so declarative as far as her emotions. And I really get a kick out of the fact that Hatter calls her our hallmark writer.
Yeah.
Honored to be her reader.
I like that too. Yes. So, Deb, I'm going to say Blue, and if you could look over Pee-wee's poem, I would like you to read that unless you did send us a recording.
I did check. There was no recording. And then I would be happy to read that one, and then I have to bolt after I read for you.
Okay. Let me play Blue first. Go ahead and take a look at that one. And everybody, I'm going to go throw up. Oh, Preebird's on the line. Hold on one second. I can always have her read if you have to bolt. Pretty, how are you?
Hello, hello. I am doing
hello,
well.
Hello.
I'm glad I made it in.
Hey.
Yeah.
Good to hear you.
Deb, if you have to bolt, I'll challenge you because you already read twice for me. Rawhide her. It's up to you.
I think I really want to, so it's all good.
Okay, that's fine. I just didn't want to hold you up. That's cool. All right. Honey, I'm glad you made it in, too. We're going to go to Blue. That's where we're going. We're going to go to Blue. Blue, 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 blue. Let me go
that
find
horse.
His home now. Pretty Bird, you got me all Twitter-pated. You always do that to me, girl.
And he's on the board. I put him up.
See, look at her go. All right. Blue doesn't have, or he doesn't have a recording either, does he?
Yes, he does.
Oh, there he is. He's the first one, huh?
He's the
one
that says X Blue.
Second one.
Should be the second one.
Yeah, I got him. Yep, I got him. Here we go. usually.
When summer's corsage has come, precipitation's wandering volley through children's bare feet, crystal hue of a robin's egg, broken being built, dream on, for dreams, glacé, backquote, boutonniere's perfumed airs that lull each sense, ivory's chiffon banks accolade, dulcet orchids idly droop to kiss, on which occasion, sky's deepest blue above, to start, while early dews are damp, do not awaken. Dream on, where garlands rustle, the forests, trees, drizzle sings their silent songs, pomegranates cloudburst shook free, youth of life to morning, console echoes slumber, like the night in truth, solo's rose-colored wind is soft tissue, adorning, yesterday I held your hand, teardrops of Bordeaux's soothing stream, where pathways meet and part, heartbeat of gentle, reverently I pressed it, distic line and hook, grunted color with the summer sky, wander all day long, the willow's brook, where grasshoppers within violet's meadow vie, a frog leaps like a blossom, pale and overblown, fingers swiftly glide humming low monotone, coronets murmur of the passing breeze, couplets fit the rhyme, swallows enraptured diadem, jubilant ripples drone, water dimples dance across, the piano keys, reverberating rhythmically stillness moves and seems to grow, petals of brass unravel tenderly, reminding me, her alabaster shoulders interpret arpeggio, on their seats, fusillades fall like music, on the ear, bluebell butterflies lift their furry feet, life's brimming cannonade rest upon midnight near, ebony's porcelain edge, sister's pas de deux breathing its dyads are clear.
Ah, Blue, you write so beautifully. I gotta tell you, I would love to be described in so many of these beautiful things that you have. Where is the one I like the most? Her alabaster shoulders. I love that one. Bluebell butterflies lift their furry feet. Life's brimming cannot. I can't even talk right now. Breast upon midnight near. Ebony's porcelain edge. There's so many great little words in here. Your descriptions are amazing. But you always do that. You have such beautiful imagery. I cannot imagine being able to write with such beautiful imagery. Boutonniere's perfumed airs that lull each sense. Ah, I love the way you do this. You always make me feel like I'm walking through the garden, smelling something, being a part of something. You always have. Yesterday, I held your hand. And I love the walk through everything. I can actually smell it, walking through you, feeling hands. Ah, very, very well done. Thank you, Blue, very much. Preberg, what did you think about our walk through the park with Blue?
You know, I wish I would have. I wish you would have called so I could hear him read it, because I much prefer him reading it himself. But he has lovely, lovely turns of phrases in here, and I have a soft spot for musical metaphors, and obviously this is just riddled with them in an exquisite manner. It just reminds me of a sun shower, a meadow, and a stream, and it is just glorious. And I love Coronet's murmur of the passing breeze, because that just, they're like peach angel trumpets to me. And that part, yeah, that whole, her alabaster shoulders interpret arpeggio. How beautiful is that, where you look at somebody and you sense it with more than your eyes, where it turns into music, to the structure of sound, and that is just glorious. And he does that throughout. Each line is a complete thought, and each thought is a beautiful image. I think he did a fabulous job.
Absolutely. And Hatter.
Unmuted. Was that his real voice? It sounded
No, that's
generated.
It was a computer voice.
Yeah. That made it an interesting touch, I thought.
Yeah. And, Adam, your thoughts?
You had to go, dear heart.
Oh, sorry, Adam. And then, Deb, you.
Yes, ma'am. I'm teasing you. It's all good. When we listen to him with his metaphors and the descriptions, it's as if he's like the tour guide, and he's taking us on the journey with him, and he's pointing out all the things he sees and feels and hears while we're there. Boutonnieres, perfumed airs that lull each sense. So he's got a treat for the senses all the way through the trip that he takes you on. Bluebell, butterflies lift their furry feet. He puts a lot of butterflies in his palm, and I like that touch. And I heard Hutter say about the recording. I think that the voice synthesizer is pretty cool, but I agree with Pretty Bird. I like when he just flat out reads for us, but either way, it was a beautiful poem. I had put there that the metaphors were really off the charts, and like I said, it's a great tickle this piece.
All right, so I have to. I know PB's out there listening to us, and I appreciate that. And yeah, you have some. We're gonna read your poem here, and I'm very excited about this. So, Deb, we're going to put him up here on the board.
I did.
I know I'm going to, because, you know.
No, I did.
Oh, did you? Okay, because I haven't even gotten back to my board. Come on now. My computer just kicked me out. And then I've got something funny to tell him. Okay, go ahead and read.
Okay.
Please,
this is called the...
I would appreciate it.
Dichotomous Destiny by Pee Wee Cusson. And here we go. Diurnal discoveries of nocturnal nemesis, these threads and seams of nightmarish daydreams, of wrong or right duplicitous lies to hide behind. Dichotomies of life-sized that your twin denied. Seized, birthing you both Siamese, separated by surgery, mirrored sincerity of the duplicitous dualities. As above, so below, rise above the other, bleed, falling down while you're understanding his needs. Twisted, yet our pose, you had nowhere left to go. In the sea of convoluted duality, you lost control. Mirroring your fears, started whispering in ears, when one goes away, the other Gemini will fade. It's another moonlit day, dichotomous you'd say. You lie emaciated and agitated, chained away. Siamese dream come true, you are him and he you. Nightmare sure, madness aboard. Destiny, true. And Paul.
This is a badass poem, just FYI. I thought this was really, really good. And I love your note at the end, 122 strikingly resembling each other words. It's got this little bit of darkness in it. I like how you said your verbiage kind of trips people up. I'm very, very southern, and I don't do a lot of phonetics. I don't read through phonetics because I just can't. And this is why I say coloring sticks instead of crayon, because nobody knows what a crayon is. And you can ask any of my friends, Pretty Bird, Deb, the rest of them. But nocturnal nemesis, and dichotomies is fabulous. You lie enunciated, and I cannot say the other word to save my life. So, Pretty Bird, you're going to have to help me with that one. Addlepated. I'm going to have to learn that word because I like it.
At the pages, like...
I know what it means. I know it means you're dumb. I have a very, you know, very strong lexicon. I just can't say the word. I know you lie. Emancipated and stupid. Chained away. I really like that line. I'm kind of jealous that I didn't write it. And I like the mention of Gemini. I know a lot of stupid Geminis. I mean, not stupid Geminis, but they, you don't know, since they stupid Geminis, which other way it goes. So mirroring your fears, start whispering in your ears. I like that because it kind of went with my queen poem earlier. So I think you've got this brilliant write going on. And in the, I go back and forth too. I don't ever, what can I say? But the very first part of it says, that was right or wrong. Dichotomy supply sees that your twin denies. So that has another poem about twins denied, which we all know what my favorite twin denied poem is. So now that's going to have to come out tonight, you guys, because this poem went right there. So if anybody has a problem with that, let me know. But that's what it brought on. So since I'm talking in circles, I apologize. But this poem totally brought that poem out for me. And I loved it, even though he has no idea what I'm talking about. But great poem. Loved how it worked out. But the whole idea of the twin denial and being chained up, being kind of emaciated and kind of addle-brained and all of that, I love Nightmares of Madness aboard. Destiny too. I like the darkness in it. I like a lot of dark poems. So great, and welcome to my show for the first time. I hope you show up again. Hope you write for me. I have a lot of fun. We've got a couple other things coming around. Welcome to Sweet Discussions. I want to say hi and thank you. All right, so Deb, did you go away already? Are you still here? No, she went away. Pretty Bird, your thoughts?
Sure. I think I'm slightly amused, P, because on the board you're apologizing for your words. Don't ever do that. They're beautiful. And right from the beginning, Diurnal Discoveries of Nocturnal Nemesis, how freaking beautiful. That's right up my alley. I'm a big old word nerd. And nobody ever uses diurnal. They always just use day and night. And everybody knows nocturnal from animals, but diurnal is not one that is used that often as the opposite of nocturnal. So I was just, in love from word one, just putting that right out there. I'm not a nerd. It's fine. And but I absolutely love that opening couplet. Diurnal discoveries of nocturnal nemesis, these threads and scenes of nightmarish daydreams. I mean, it just leads into a story. And I'm just like, ooh. And so I kind of really love that. And there's kind of this sadness in the shadows of this that, you know, the idea, first of all, the idea of twins, Siamese or otherwise, when one is no longer there, it is a heartbreaking thing. So it just kind of pulls you there, even if that's not exactly it. It pulls you there in your feels. So I kind of love that. But twisted yet apropos, you had nowhere left to go in this sea of convoluted duality. You lost control. I love that. I do. There's just, the way you word things is beautiful to me. And I'm all for fabulous words and underused words and precision of language. So I love this. I love the feel of it. I love the way it read. I love the words you use. I'm a fan. So, you know, kudos.
Hatta, your thoughts?
So is that what addlepated means?
Yes, it means confused, stupid, kind of out of it. Yeah.
Okay. Learn something every day. That's your new word.
You better love a poem that makes you look things up.
I find it absurd that pretty bird's a word nerd. Just saying.
Hey, you're funny. Huh? You crack me up.
No, there's some great good lines.
Oh, my goodness.
The sea of convoluted duality. You lost control, mirroring your fears, started whispering in your ears. Yeah. Poem. A little different. He's a good poet.
All right. So I put on a poem on the board, which is, might explain why I was so excited about your poem, Pee-wee. It just might explain a little bit. And it's one of Hatter's favorite poems. It might just explain why I sounded like a complete moron and why I was excited about your poem. We're kind of symbiotic here about your little twin and my little twin. Okay, so here we go. This is my little girl on the wall. In my dream, I'm awakened by the smell of her death, weaved into the wind as it whistles through the window in my room. My heartbeat quickens, sweat beads form on my skin. I cannot run, for she will follow me into the closet or under my bed. Her eyes are vacant, cold, and lost. Her body twisted, her voice dark. The sound of a thousand dying birds scream as her fingers run down my wall. What have I done to deserve such a fate? As she creeps closer to my face and smiles, the words she says make me cringe. She giggles out, "I love you, sister." Out the window and over the wall she climbs. Until I sleep again tomorrow night. I have no sister is my belief. Then it was revealed to me I had a twin. I ate her in the womb. Took her soul as a babe. Never let her live her days. If she comes and haunts my dreams, come to me, girl on the wall. Hold my hand as I take these pills. Release me from my sins, and we can be sisters forever again. And poem. Oh, love the darkness. Anyway, that's why I was so excited about your poem. I love this. You know I love this. This is creepy as all get out. And, it reads like a story told from the asylum. It's fabulous and all shadows. And it's why they call you the Queen of Darkness. So I'm glad you put it out. I haven't heard it in a while. And it is amazing. As amazing as the first time you read it.
I know. I just love this. Anyway. All right. Now you get to read yours. Good. Fabulous and wonderful. And thank you, Pee-wee, for reminding me. You're a fabulous writer. I really love your dark side. Love it. So
hey, sweet.
Yes, sir. Yes, my love.
Just as creepy and disturbing as the first time. Good job.
I know. I wasn't looking for kudos. I got so excited because of his twinisms and his darkness. I loved it. Sorry. I went off on my own tangent in my own show. You know how I get once in a while. I get excited. New people come along. Okay. Let's go.
So,
on to bigger and better things.
A or B.
I don't care. You choose. I haven't heard you read in a while, so.
Hey, that's because I've been in my bat cave. Okay.
I know.
So I popped it on the board. I chose A, and it is, there can be only one. And it goes like this. I breathe in the echo of your taste on my tongue, but it's the ash in your eyes of broken apologies that smells like the ocean air every time you came to see me. Can't escape the truth and denial as gray eyes lose their ember in retrospect and regret. I wear my pain like I wear my passion, naked and raw and weaponized vulnerability. I still trust through pain's vivisection. You wear my kindness like broken glass, knowing my smile defies reason. I have no desire to punish you, only yearn to scrape the anguish from the way you look at me. Carry through heavens on every breeze,
We respire and retire on the same air. Each moment reverberates aura's brilliance, painting constellations through miles that feel like the warmth of your skin. My truth bleeds red when it punctures your veins. Shadows permeate ideas, fracturing motivation, glowing life's truth unfiltered. Flailing in human frailty, in momentary blasphemous doubt, I know as true as chocolate in my eyes. Should you cease on this plane, rainbows will bleed to grayscale cores. But if color fails to be, by your side, the held in brilliant hues, the world will still be beautiful. I will take your voice in my head, your scent in the air, your touch in my sleep, and forge a life from those truths. But steal away in severed edges, retract your being from my flesh where ghosts don't haunt machines. That is the bitter birth of madness. A mere drop of you solidifies my fortitude. In absentia can be found no solace in solitary half-life waning heartbeats, pulling hooks through past lives, trying to tether through time, needing you to kiss air into my lungs. And calm.
How do I possibly ever even live without hearing that voice 3 or 4 times a week? I don't know. It's just why I call you. Oh, my God. But steal away these severed edges, retract the beam from my flesh, where ghosts don't haunt machines. That is the bitter birth of madness. When a mere drop of you solidifies my fortitude. Ah, yes, you do, my dear. Needing you to kiss air into my lungs. Oh, God. Creeper. Fabulous. Oh, I know. And now we have a poor person out there named Pee Wee who does not know or cannot fathom how to distinguish you from me. I think he might be a little confused. Like most of them can be.
Oh, my goodness.
What do you think?
Yeah, there's some good lines here. Yeah, but steal away my severed edges, retract your being from my flesh, where ghosts don't haunt machines. That is the bitter birth of madness, the bitter birth. Great line.
Like thank it. You. Mm-hmm. That's fabulous. All right, let me go and see where I am at. Need more. Blue is done. Oh, I've got one more. I have a recording for her or him.
Is she on the list? Because I didn't see her on the list before the show.
Yeah, she's even in the recording. Akrina or Akria? I don't know how to say that name.
No, I mean for the email list. It's Arcana.
Deb told me it was.
Okay, well, that's good.
That told me I was fine with both.
I know that.
Yeah.
Perfect. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, better safe than sorry.
Throw them up. Yeah.
Yes, I'll put it right up there.
So here we go. You got them up?
1 second.
So, yep. You're so fabulous. I missed you. I missed you. So here we go.
I missed you, too.
Too silently awake from deathless dreams. They by a flickering candlelight caress that paints the walls with dancing shadows. Count them on. Watch, centuries wax and away. Escorted by his beloved Countess Banner.
My mind is crazy.
As totems of his promise, undyed eye devotion. He furnishes her with wreaths of blood-red roses. Side by side, they rest in ornate opulence. Within their flamboyant twin sarcophagus, a shrine to the passion they immortalize.
Righty. That might have to be a Sunday night evening issue. PG-13, that's a great poem, but that's a little bit of a over PG-13 rating ending, so we may end up having playing that on a different show. Thank you for bringing it to my show, though. Pretty much.
Since you brought up Sunday nights,
yeah,
we should let them know, for all the new people, that we have a sister site where we do sensual poetry. And we have the occasional show on there that is not so PG-13 and not so public and so much fun. I can't even tell you. 18 and over only, and you have to leave your date when you apply. And that is called the Adult Lounge. Feel free to look it up. But I will have to say I do enjoy a good vampire trip. So I will definitely be leaving a comment on that after the show because it was tasty.
Yes, please invite them over. Yeah, that'd be great. I just finished the rest of reading unfortunately, great part of it ended. No, can't have that on the ending. Sorry. My fault, shouldn't have let it go that far. I apologize to the rest of my audience and to the poet.
Good catch.
Wow. Yeah. Could have caught it earlier. So, as we end the show, what's going on the rest of the week? Anybody know? We've got Linda
out of the loop
up tomorrow night. Linda will be up tomorrow night, which is awesome. So our Rhyming Queen storyteller is up tomorrow night. That's awesome. Saturday night, what is going on there?
Tomorrow night with Linda is open poetry. So anybody, if you've got anything PG-13, oriented, feel free to call in, drop it on the board and do that. Because, we all have those poems that we would love to share that just don't quite fit anywhere else.
Yes.
And then
Saturday
is Peppers.
What's that?
Peppers.
Pepper.
Me with my Sunday night mentality, the only peppers that pop to mind I can't write about, so.
I know. They're liberating,
Yeah. but anything pepper-oriented, anything that the word pepper or peppers themselves come to mind, just, it starts at 10, call in, read your poem, have a discussion. It'll be fabulous. It always is.
Yeah. Well, PB, that is why we have this sister show on Sunday nights, and you can just jump on over there and you can join us when we do our Sunday show. And just so that you know, it is called Sweet, Pretty Sweet, because Pretty Bird and Pretty Bird say hi.
Hello.
Pretty Bird Chat. And Sweet Pea, that is me. We do it. We do Pretty Sweet Seductions because it's fun to confuse people. So you can look up the Adult Lounge and come join us when we have a show over there because it's a little different than this one.
You have to just sign up to be invited to the shows once you're in there because not everybody wants to write, not everybody wants to join the fun. So there is a permission slip, so to speak, for all the grown-ups.
Yeah.
When is that again? When is that?
I don't know when we're going to have our next show. That's Pretty Bird's kind of been out of the loop, so we're waiting for her to feel a little better.
Okay.
So when Pretty Bird pulls a feather out and says, let's go, that's when we'll go.
So let's go.
She's going to shake her tail feathers. Okay, so I guess Sunday night we'll be shaking a tail feather. I know what we'll be doing it to.
Well, that's going to be Super Bowl Sunday night.
Oh, is it?
Oh, well, then I guess.
What time is the game usually over? We can have an 11 o'clock show instead of a 10 o'clock show.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, everybody loves an after party.
I know.
Yeah, that's
all
of
you love an after party. Should be a Super Bowl after ball.
You don't know who might show up.
Yeah, you don't.
Tom Brady.
You don't know who might show up. Nobody knows who might show up. Yeah.
Norm MacDonald.
Let's see. I think it should be Red Cheese and
Boots. I think Sky's show is Tuesday, yes? Because we haven't mentioned her in a while. At 8 o'clock, so check out her voice.
It is Tuesday, right? Am I wrong? Yeah, today's Thursday, yeah. But
I think we should do
Sky on
my board
for Tuesday. I don't know yet.
She's on the calendar, so I don't know if she's on the board. Probably not yet, if I don't, see it. But keep an eye out, because she's awesome.
Yes, guys.
And then there's
Hey, Pretty Bird?
Monday's Personal Prompt Monday.
Personal Prompt Monday, yeah.
Okay, I'm done. Yes.
Okay, how about Sunday, why don't we do the prompt, Be My Red Cheese.
Be My what?
The Red Cheese.
Be the Red Tree?
Yeah, the Red Cheese. I'll send you the picture again.
Okay. Oh, your shoes.
Yes.
Oh, yes, we can do that. Sorry, listen, I'm disconnected from everything. It took me a minute. I am so sorry. I'm a hot mess.
Pearls, panties, and pumps.
Oh, there you go. I don't know. I'm kind of diamonds over pearls.
Okay,
we can do that. You know, we're supposed to be PG-13 here.
Oh, yeah. Well, I didn't say the other words, so we're good. All right.
But we're talking under things. We're swaying to the side.
I know. So, this is the end of Three Discussions, The Power of Two. Please join me next week when I will be discussing Broken Hearts. Make sure you check out my contest. It's going to be fun. It's almost over. I actually have to extend it for a day or so. But I want to thank everybody, and I do mean everybody that joined us tonight, everybody that joined me on the phone, everybody that joined me on the board. I just had a great time tonight. I really absolutely did. Blue, Adam, Arachnia, I cannot say his name at all, and I so apologize. And I will definitely get your full poem up in a different area. Heavenly Angel, Pee Wee, thanks for joining us. Welcome aboard. AP Taylor, fabulous poem as always. Deborah Lee, Jay Hatter, thank you everybody for writing for me. You guys are great. I couldn't do this without you. Once again, we are sponsored by the AP Poetry Foundation here at Blog Talk Radio inside the great and wonderful team of voices. Thank you guys. Have a beautiful night. Love and respect. Talk to y'all soon. Good night.
Good night, guys.
I gotta go with some shoes.